Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel." I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our hymn for today is Psalm 30. Let us read by half verse. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up.
And have not let my enemies triumph over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried out to you.
And you restored me to health.
You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. Sing to the Lord, you servants of his.
Give thanks for the remembrance of his holiness.
For his wrath endures but the twinkling of an eye.
His favor for a lifetime.
Weeping may spend the night.
But joy comes in the morning.
While I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed.
You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains.
Then you hid your face.
And I was still with fear.
I cried to you, O Lord.
I pleaded with the Lord, saying,
What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit?
Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me.
O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my wailing into dancing.
You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing.
O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
A reading from the Revelation to John. I looked and I heard the voice of angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Be seated, please.
Oh, no.
And bless. I bet you can guess what I'm going to say now. Well, I've only been doing this here for 8 years. I'm going to get the key to it any day here. Get the hang of it. It was driving me crazy. On Monday, I experienced an unremarkable but undeniable eternal event, I suppose I could say. My head was all full of future events and responsibilities, running the gamut from the profound to the trivial. And I have bullet points here. The upcoming funeral for Laverne Broad this Saturday, and the next day, the baptisms of Christian and Aurora Gray. Speaking at a memorial for a dear friend in another venue, a bar, yesterday. A collapsing ceiling in our garage. Problems of both cars. Dental woes. Returning to running post-COVID. Cards and letters to write. In other words, life. My usual response to such a list has been to grit my teeth, bear down, prepare to do my duty, and then go through my list in a dutiful way. But on Monday morning, something lifted inside me. It was unremarkable, as I've said, because I doubt that anything looked much different on the outside. But it was a dramatic moment on the inside. Well, yes, I did get a couple of items checked off the list right away, but doing them felt different somehow also. Instead of looking at accomplishing these tasks as proof of my worth, I could see them as things adults do in life. Neither bad nor good, just life stuff. Even though some of the stuff was or is important to other people to some degree. If getting things done is not a measure of one's worth, if making a mistake or being neglectful of chores, whether significant or mundane, is just that and not a way of determining one's right to have a place in the world, then there's no need to assess blame, my own or anyone else's. As in, if that person had acted responsibly, then I wouldn't have done or failed to do, fill in the blank. And that leads to, hence it was their fault, so I'm okay. Or conversely, totally my fault, so I'm not okay. My flash of insight was something like looking at any item or the sum total of all the items on the list and thinking, this is the way things are. This is life. Now what do I need to do? It remains important, of course, to recognize whatever past action might have created or led to a problem, like with the house or the cars, but only insofar as it helps me to avoid repeating those actions in the future. Change the filter on the AC more often. A few observations in light of the reading from Acts. You thought I wasn't going to get to the Bible at all. Here it comes. I wasn't breathing threats and murder on anyone. Well, maybe unnamed minor threats on myself. There was no blinding flash, just a shift in perspective. And who knows how long it will last, because this wasn't the first time. Actually, I wrote that sentence on Monday, and by Thursday, it was as if this had never occurred to me. And my thinking had devolved into old patterns of negative self-judgment. And as I noted recently, Paul, even after he stopped being Saul, was the same kind of zealous person and, I'm given to think, occasional pain in the neck as he had been before his blinding flash. And finally, I recognized the difference. My voice from God was not a booming indictment, but something more like, isn't this a better way to approach life? Today's readings are filled with blindings and regainings of sight in various settings and in various ways, both large and small. The scales on Paul's eyes, or Saul at that point. Ananias' fear transformed to trust. He understandably feared Saul because of his reputation. Yet he, Ananias, trusted the Lord and then called Saul brother when he approaches him. The psalmist made me wonder if he or she had a liberating experience similar to the one I've described. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up. That is, you have shown me that I am your beloved child, regardless of what I've accomplished or failed to accomplish. What profit is there in my blood, the psalmist writes, if I go down to the pit? Whether that is the pit of depression or the pit of worthlessness we have dug for ourselves. Jesus' own closest friends didn't recognize him standing right there in front of them on the beach. We don't know why. For one thing, they weren't expecting him. For another, they were busy with their work in the world, fishing, and were possibly frustrated because they'd caught nothing in their overnight fishing trip. It was only when they were liberated from their exhaustion and disappointment that they were able to see clearly. To see their friend and teacher. And even then they were a bit uncertain. I thought it was an interesting line. They still had an urge to ask, "Who are you?" even afterward. That line. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. What I take from that is an echo of last week's account of doubting Thomas. Even though they knew, the knowledge was new to them and flew in the face of common sense and reason. After this whole episode, and only after, did Jesus repeat his question and marching orders three times. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Perhaps it was because Jesus wanted Peter and the others, including us, including me, wanted Peter to continue his ministry from a place of love rather than mere duty. He even warned Peter in broad, cryptic terms that this was not going to be a bed of roses. And maybe the tough row ahead of Peter could be borne only by love and not by obedience alone. Implicit, I believe, in the "Do you love me?" question is Jesus' love for Peter and all of us. And implicit in the allusion to Peter's struggles and eventual death is the reassurance that it, his ministry of love, is more than just worthwhile. It is what makes life an exciting adventure and not something just to be endured. Even in the worst of times, there are moments of true and deep human connection, which in the end seems to be God's way of forging and maintaining the divine human bond that God made explicit in the person and his own incarnation in the person of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead,
and his kingdom will have no end.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son.
With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified.
He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we may all be one.
Grant that every member of the Church may truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we may undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and for those of others. We pray especially for Justin, Emily, Carol, David, George, Jim, Anne, John, Sarah, Joey, Maureen, Jill, Karen, Stephen, Steve's family, Angie, RG, Greg, Janet, Chris, Alan, Degagare family, Martha and family, people of Ukraine, others. And we pray for those in the military, Brian, Trevor, James, Reed, Kevin, Ryan, Jared, Chris, Jonathan, Eric, and all in harm's way. We pray for those traveling this week, Jim and Carol Weathers, Sherry Musgrove. We pray for all who have died, especially Linda Hook, Steve Saccone, Laverne Broad, Sylvia Chapino, Zach Swenson, and for all who mourn their passing. We pray in thanksgiving for all who are celebrating birthdays this week, especially Mark Milanovich. Please let us know if you have overlooked yours.
We pray in thanksgiving also for the student in Dallas, Wallace, on the occasion of their anniversary. And other petitions you may wish to allow or cite. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, Have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. You may be seated.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us, and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom.
All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you. and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
To love and serve the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks.